Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're making our way through Romans. And if you are newer here, usually, and the way we've been going through Romans, we take a half or an entire chapter at a time and we go through it. And I think we'll be doing that again when we get to chapter 13. But chapter 12, Paul really lays out a whole list of things. And to just kind of repeat the list and go on doesn't seem adequate. So we're going to take this a little slower. I believe that so much of what Paul says now and lists is under the heading of let love be genuine. So what does genuine love look like? What's it look like to genuinely love the way that God calls us to? Well, he says last week we looked at, he says genuine love hates. Genuine love hates evil. You do not love if you don't hate. I know that sounds weird, but genuine love hates evil. If we are ambivalent towards evil, if we see evil being done to someone and we're like, well, you know, it's not me, that's not love. Love hates evil and holds fast to what's good. We also saw that he encourages us to love with a family affection. So, you know, the church is not a formality, it's a family. We are to love one another with a family affection. And then genuine love sees and honors the value in other people. This morning, I want to pick up at verse 11, and Paul says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. And Father, we pray you bless your word to us this morning, in Jesus' name. Paul says, serve the Lord. That's the big call here. Serve the Lord. God is called. He's placed us on this earth to serve him. Why are we here? Why are we here? You ever think about that? You ever think about the big picture? Why am I alive? What's my life for? What's the purpose? And, you know, sadly, I think when people answer that question, it's to make a lot of money, or it's to have a lot of pleasure, or it's to do what I want. They end up with an empty life. And they wonder, why is life so empty? The reason is because God created us to serve him. He created us to serve Almighty God, the creator of the universe. He called us to serve him. And Paul says, serve the Lord. But how we serve him, the attitude we have in serving him, is as important to the Lord as whether we serve him or not. Don't be slothful. It means don't be slow. Don't be lazy in serving the Lord. Don't be half-hearted. Don't act like it's a burden. Oh man, I gotta serve the Lord. I gotta do this. Don't act like it's a burden. Psalm 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness. He cares about how we serve him. There's a lot in Scripture it says about, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart, not your half heart. Whole heart. God loves it when we come to him with a wholeheartedness. Not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. That word fervent in the Greek means to boil. To boil. Boiling water is active water. As the water heats up, it starts moving quickly, and that's, it begins to boil. I don't know all the science behind it, but I know how to boil water, and that's what it does. There's action to it. Don't let your heart become cold or lukewarm. Keep your love and your service for God boiling hot. Now, we might think, can I help it? Maybe someone here is struggling with, can I help it if I just don't feel that? Can I help it if my heart's just not in it? I can't change how I feel. Paul says, yes, you can. Paul says, yes, you can. You see, our hearts, our attitudes, when it comes to our hearts and our attitudes, we're not thermometers. We're thermostats. Thermometers measure the temperature. They can't do anything about it. A thermostat can change the temperature. Paul's saying we're more thermostats than thermometers. Sometimes we look at our feelings and say, I can't help how I feel. Yes, yes, actually you can. You got a thermometer. You got a thermostat. You can turn it up, turn the heat up. That's what Paul's saying. Be fervent in spirit. Make it hot. Make it boiling. Make it intense. Not phony. Let love be genuine. So everything under here has got to be genuine. So we gotta be genuine about that. But there's a way we can turn the heat up on our serving. Now, how does that relate to let love be genuine? Well, I submit to you that in the scriptures, almost always serving the Lord involves people. It involves people. Zeal to serve God that builds a wall between us and isolates us from people is, I think, a wrong kind of zeal. At the age of 13, Simeon Stylites developed such a zeal for God that within a few years, he joined a monastery. But the leaders of that monastery soon asked him to leave the monastery because they said his zeal was so intense, he was unsuited for any community life. In other words, he was driving them crazy. His zeal for God, they said, made him unsuited to be around people. Impossible to live with. So Simeon Stylite spent the next 30 years of his life living on a platform on a pole. He started with a smaller pole, maybe 10 or 12 feet high, and then eventually graduated to a pole that was 50 feet off the ground. And he lived day and night on that pole, and people would hoist food up to him and water up to him, and I don't know how he did everything there, but he ended up dying on that pole, separated from people because he was so zealous for God. I don't think that's exactly what God has in mind. I think God has more in mind what Jesus did when he walked the among people. He was so devoted to God and dedicated to his Father, but it took him not away from the crowds, but to the crowds. Yeah, he'd get apart for a time and pray, but then he'd go to the crowds and he would love and serve and care and meet their needs. Because that's the heart of God. God loves people. So serve the Lord. That's our focus. Our focus isn't serve people. I mean, we do, but they're not our primary focus. We're not meant to be people-pleasing, seeking people's approval. We are to be seeking to please God and get his approval, but that will bring us to people and serving people and expressing the love of God to people. That's what Trey's doing when he goes with this group. They're going to go to serve people. People. They're not going to serve a building. They're going to serve children. And those that serve these children day and night, who have no parents, but God loves them, and he is a father to them, and he has put the fatherless in families. And so God bless you, man, and may the Lord bless that trip. Now, be fervent. Do not be slothful. Serve the Lord. I want to make two quick points before we move on. The first point is this. Chip Ingram makes the point that too often, particularly when Christians are dealing with controversial issues, debates, and differences, they give off more heat than light. In other words, they get hot with passion, with anger, with arguing. And that's not the kind of heat I'm talking about. There are Christians who think zeal for God has them arguing and fighting and cutting people down and kind of slashing and burning. And that's not the kind of heat that reflects the heart of God. That is not a zeal for the Lord. That is a zeal for our pride. That is a zeal for being right. And I know from experience, because I have had those kind of arguments where the veins on the neck are sticking out and the voices raise, and I'm angry because God. And then when I cool down, I realize, no, I was angry because my pride, because I wanted to be right. That's not the kind of zeal. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul encourages us, keep a cool head. Keep a cool head when we feel the heat of anger and arguing and debating rising up. Listen to what he says to Timothy. And the Lord's servant, okay, we're talking about serving the Lord with fervency, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. Man, that just takes that prophetic fire that I want to call down on people's heads right out of it. Kind to everyone? I can't be quarrelsome? Man. Must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So if you think that Paul is simply writing about people that have it just a little bit wrong, they love God so much, they're doing so much, but they've got it a little. Paul's talking about guys that have lost their senses, who are doing the will of the devil. And he's talking about, be kind to them. Be gentle as you teach them, in the hope that God will give them repentance. So if you're screaming at people and you're yelling at people and you're telling them what truth is and how, you know, they're going to be damned if they don't listen to you and all that, you are not obeying Scripture. That is not the kind of fervency God is looking for. And again, I speak from sad experience. But hopefully God's helped me to grow a little bit in that area. Fervent serving the Lord never leads us to slashing and burning people who disagree or even oppose us. Second point is, let's honestly admit, we all struggle with losing our zeal sometimes. We all feel weary in the race. And the way to regain a warm fervency to serve the Lord is not by focusing on our temperature. It's not by focusing on how is my temperature, where is I. It's by focusing on all that Christ has done for us. I love the songs we sang this morning. They moved me to tears. Because we weren't singing about us. We were singing about Christ. We were singing about all he has done for us. And in any season of life, to think of all that Christ has done for us can move our hearts to want to serve him. Not to repay him, but out of gratitude and out of deep love for him. C.S. Lewis famously said, it is easier to act our way into feeling than feel our way into acting. If we wait to act until we feel it, we may be waiting a long time. So take opportunities as God leads you to step into service, even if it's uncomfortable. Because often as we step into service, as God leads, that alone helps turn our thermostat up a little higher as we serve the Lord. Verse 12, and this is as far as we're going to get this morning. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. These three things go together. They are interwoven together. Hope is the anticipation of something in the future, something that's not here right now. As Christians, we have so much, and we sang about it this morning, so much to look forward to, so much in our future to rejoice over. Think about it, all that we have to look forward to. I mean, this life, I enjoy life. I hope you do too. Now, there are people who are living lives that are so hard that maybe every day is a struggle. But as believers, even they can look forward with joy to what God has for them. Those who suffer every day with chronic illness and disease can look forward to one day being completely healed. No more disease, no more pain, no more suffering. Those who have physical or mental disabilities will be physically and mentally whole forever. Freed from that disability. Those who have lost a loved one, a believing loved one, will find them again on that day and never lose them again. Can you imagine the day that will be when moms are reunited with their son or their daughter and they're able to hug them and feel that hug and never lose that again? Or the child who lost their parent at a young age or at any age, to see them again and never lose them again? Death is such an anomaly, such an enemy. But one day, eternal life will be all that we know. And what a reunion that day will be. Those who have lived this life never feeling like they fit in, like they don't belong. Those are the people Jesus went to, by the way. Jesus didn't hang out with the cocktail parties and the caviar group. He went to the outcasts, the people the world didn't care about, didn't think were valuable. Those who feel like, I just don't fit in. I'm not cool. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't belong. I don't feel like I belong. They're going to belong. They're going to be home. They're going to be accepted. All of us who have lived this life throttled by sin, we don't even know. We're just kind of used to what we are, aren't we? You're used to what you are, aren't you? We are. We're used to it. But we're throttled by sin in so many ways. We don't even realize how much pride throttles our life and our joy, or selfishness, or lust, or anger, or fear of man, and what do people think, or selfish ambition, how it throttles our lives. Finally, we will be free of sin. There will be no sin in our mind, no sin in our heart, no sin in our life. We will be free. We can't even imagine how freeing that will be. Suffering will be no more. The Bible says sorrow and sighing will flee away. We will love and be loved perfectly. No more guardedness. They love me. No more insecurity. Just love, perfect love. Being perfectly loved, loving perfectly. Christ has purchased for us such an unshakable, unbreakable, unchangeable hope. Paul says, rejoice in hope. Don't make your joy what's going on today or what's going to go on next week or next year or next anything. Make your joy rooted in eternity. That's not going to disable you from living this life. That's going to empower you to live this life. Now, in the hope, that hope, it gives us patience in times of tribulation. Patience. That word patience in Greek is an interesting word. It means to bear up under the weight of something. Bear up under the weight of a heavy circumstance. To keep going with it. In fact, that's another meaning. It carries the meaning of remaining, not fleeing. Jesus said in Matthew 10:22 that his followers would be hated on account of his name. But he says, but the one who endures, the one who hypomanias, who bears up, who remains to the end will be saved. When people throw off the weight of Jesus' name and say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want him anymore. I'm done with him. There's either one of two things that are reality in their life. Either one, And I pray this for many who I see right now throwing off his name. They are backslidden and they will come back to Christ. Amen? They will come back to Christ. But if they remain in that place, they're not believers. Theologically, I don't believe people can actually lose their salvation. So it means that they were never truly saved in that case. Because bearing up and remaining to the end, those are the ones who will be saved. And that's not the work of us. That's the work of God's grace in us. He's holding us to that day. Having this awesome hope gives us patience to endure suffering and hardship now. So whatever it is, it will not last forever. We won't be under this weight forever. And then prayer helps us stay connected to God and receive grace for whatever we're facing. But prayer is also a release valve. If you ever just had something weighing on your heart, pressuring, stressing, just, you know, what happens? You build up. And how do people deal with that, you know? They turn to alcohol. They turn to numb their senses with things. But prayer is a release valve. God, help me. Help me. I can't carry this anymore. I need your help. It's a release valve. When we go to God in prayer, the situation may not change. It may never change, but our hearts change. We receive strength to keep going, to not flee, to remain, to bear under the weight and not lay it down, not give up on God. Prayer helps our souls feel the reality of that future hope we have in Christ. This call to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer is great advice. But we might wonder, how does this apply to love that's genuine? Because this is all about us personally. Here's an analogy that might help explain. If you've ever flown in a plane, you know that before you get far into the flight, the stewardess or steward comes down and they explain that should the cabin lose oxygen and air pressure, a little mask will fall down. And I remember I started flying alone as a 9-year-old. That was my first flight alone on a plane, 9 years old. And so I remember when they said the next thing, it always confused me. They said, moms and dads, you put that mask on yourself before you put it on your child. I'm like, what? That's the most selfish thing I've ever heard. That's like, moms and dads, you eat all the food you need before you give any food to your kid. It's like, that just seems so selfish and rude. But it was explained to me, if mom or dad loses consciousness because of lack of oxygen, they can't do their kid any help, any good. If we lose our faith in Christ, if we lose our hope, if we lose our patience, if we stop bearing under, if we flee, if we stop praying and disconnect from God, we're not the only ones affected. None of us are an island. Our influence ripples on, and there will be others who look. When we stand with the Lord in hard times, there's others who are watching. And they're being influenced by our perseverance and our faith in the hard time. If we give up and we say, I'm done, there are others who see that and they are influenced in that direction. And that's not what love would have you do for them. Staying connected to Jesus is the loving thing to do. So I want to close with this. Maybe somebody here, you're under tremendous weight right now. Maybe you feel life pressing in on you on all sides. Maybe you're stressed. Stressed by the demands of life. Stressed by whatever it is you're dealing with. Maybe you're discouraged about the present. Maybe you're fearful about the future. God wants to meet you where you are right now. God wants to meet you where you are. God wants to give you strength for today. And as the song says, bright hope for tomorrow. God wants to meet us. My mom, on Mother's Day, I was talking to her and she told me about a 24/7 live cam. Bear Valley in California, and it's a live cam of an eagle's nest. And this eagle had three eaglets. One of them died. But 24/7, you can watch these two eaglets grow. And now, they're at the point where they're filling out that nest. They're stretching their wings. I happened to, while I was working on the message, I didn't intend to involve this illustration at all in the sermon, but I just put it on my phone while I was, because there's no, it's just, you're not hearing anything. You're just kind of, when you want to, you just kind of watch. They're just sitting there. They're looking around, stretching their wings every now and then. But while I'm watching at that, and I'm watching the two eaglets, Sunny and Gizmo are their names. And they're getting ready. And they're probably annoying each other as they flap their wings and spread them out. And any day now, they're going to fly off that nest. And I'm sure they're in that nest thinking, what are we doing? Like, this is crammed. When we were little, this was okay place, but now it's crammed, and then I got this annoying brother or annoying sister next to me, and every time I'm starting to sleep, they start flapping their wings and wake me up. And what is life? Is life just sitting around in this nest, looking around and flapping every now and then? I mean, 24/7, they're just in this nest. They don't know what lies ahead. They don't know that before long, or maybe they do, but I don't think they do, they're going to just flap their wings and they're going to soar. And soar above the storms, soar above the scenery, soar above the earth with wings like eagles. And it made me think of Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord. Some van translation said, those who wait on the Lord. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for glory. We're waiting for God. We're waiting for great things. And God can renew us. As we connect with God in prayer, we can have strength to soar above the storms of life, above the challenges of life, above the hardships of life, above the joys of life, and soar with wings like eagles. That's what God has for us. That's what God has for you. Believe it and reach out for it. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. Give God the weight you're carrying and wait on Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that the gift of life is a tremendous gift. It's a wonderful gift. We thank You, Lord, everyone in this room, we have been blessed with so many, many blessings that a lot of people don't have. And so we begin by thanking You, Lord, thanking You. We're grateful for all the blessings You have poured out upon our lives. We thank You for that, Lord. But God, life is also hard. And there are challenges that come our way. There are things that are struggles to get through. There are times and seasons where we wonder, what are You up to, God? There are times when we're so tired of life, or we're so tired even of ourselves, we struggle with that, Lord. And then there's so times when we just struggle with sin. We struggle with just the mess we make of things sometimes. As beautiful as life is, it's hard at times. But God, Your word promises, as we hope in You, as we wait upon You, You give us wings to soar like eagles. So, Father, I pray that for anyone and everyone who's in that place now, that You would give them a fresh sense of eagle wings, that You, God, would give them a fresh sense of waiting on You, hoping in You, gazing upon You, and receiving from You all that You alone can give us. Let us mount up with wings like eagles and soar in life to the glory of Jesus. Amen.